Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah.
So, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, June 1st, 2021, day after Memorial Day. All of this influence, you know, all of this influence and mass psychology, Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, written in plausibly deniable fashion. I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. Religion plays a part, though a diminishing one. The press, the cinema, and the radio play an increasing part. I heard a pastor recently observe how interesting it is that I think it was TCM. Somebody did a piece on the lion, Leo the lion, the MGM mascot the filming of the roaring lion. Pastor drew a correlation. I'm sure he wasn't the first, but, you know, interesting correlation between the MGM lion and 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So why the roaring lion? Religion plays a part, though a diminishing one, because guys like Bertrand Russell knew in the fashion of Pike's letter to Mazzini that the object was to destroy all religion, to create a vacuum in order to, you know what, enter, you know, what Pike wrote. And, you know, if you're wondering, I mean, I think there's evidence in his other writings, Morals and Dogma, for example, to validate the suspicion that the letter is authentic. Religion plays a part, though a diminishing one. The press, the cinema, and the radio play an increasing part, which again reminds me of JFK's words, you know, Francis Bacon remarked on three recent inventions already transforming the world: the compass, gunpowder, and the printing press. Of course, we know in America, gunpowder is supposed to be reserved only to the ruling class. We're not the infidels, the common man. We're not supposed to have gunpowder. Bad guys are trying to make that go away. The printing press, and the interwebs now. And isn't it fascinating how, you know, again, I've remarked just how we sort of avail ourselves to the kidnapper's agenda. You can find things on forums still to this day, and you can go, let me just look real fast and see if I can find something, you know, like that's not what I'm looking for. What's the name of the installers at Scriptaculars or something like that? I forget. I'll find it real fast. The installer these days, there are a variety of them, but there's a popular one. Dozens and dozens, hundreds actually, hundreds of scripts or what do you call them? Scripts, basically, installers, you know, things that you can install on a server just with a click of a button. So let's see. I'll tell you in 2 seconds here. I mean, they're called scripts, but Softaculous, that's what it is. Softaculous. Commercial script library that automates the installation of commercial and open source web applications to website. So, with a click of a button, you can install these things like forums, for example, blogs, forums, etc., etc. So let's see how many forums. PHP bulletin board. SMF. MyBB. AEF. Vanilla. Lots of bulletin board software. So in total, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. It looks like how many of those are currently supported? I don't know, but PHP bulletin board is kind of an old stalwart. It's the, you know, has been a standard for a while and is still used by a variety of folks. But, you know, it's interesting how we just sort of, I mean, people on social media. Now all of a sudden everything's curated by social media and search, of course. And so if you're not everything gets, all of the web traffic gets sort of pruned through social media and search. And if you don't know what you're looking for now, all of a sudden you can't find it. If it's banned on social and blacklisted on search, well, I guess it doesn't exist. Isn't that interesting? So, and you know, people still fight about this stuff. Facebook won't let me. Well, then Jaron Lanier has been telling you for quite a while. He wrote a book about it and then ran around and did talks over here and, you know, across the pond and all over the place. Anybody that would let him talk about it, he said, hey, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. I've sold companies to these guys, but get rid of your social media. Why won't Facebook let me? Why are you hugging your kidnapper? Why are you trying to argue with your kidnapper? That seems silly. Who cares? Facebook won't let me. It seems absurd to me. So, let's see. To finish the thought on Nikki Rapana's post about, you know, the communitarian network, and somebody commented about how Etzioni says George Soros is a good friend who funded the communitarian network. Here's a bit about Soros by Peter Myers. And again, speaking of the point I just made, curated by Google, google.com/AMP, the AMP project. You know, and again, most people don't understand. I've talked about that in the past as well. Google says, well, you know, accelerated mobile pages is a good thing. What if I'm not looking at, you know? So more and more, you know, like Scott Klosowski said, we are going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. We are. And so, you know, let's just, wait a minute. Not let's just go back. What? You say that matter-of-factly, Scott. Like, it's just a foregone thing. Google says accelerated mobile pages is very important. And so, you know what? Google will help us with that. And Google will, you know, manage that project. And every web page now, Google can, you know, we'll just reconfigure every web page for you. Don't worry about you know, let us configure it for mobile and make it faster and stuff. We'll do that. And we'll keep that over on our domain so that, you know, it's visible. But what if Google doesn't like it? Then that listing goes away. Curating all things. So anyway, it's a post from 2012, George Soros as a Rothschild agent. Interesting. But just as a final thought on George Washington University, the Wikipedia entry, which Nikki Rapana cites, I thought this was interesting too. In today's cancel culture, cultural Marxist, you know, malaise, there's this. During the Civil War, many students left to join the Confederacy, and the college's buildings were used as a Union Army military hospital and barracks. Walt Whitman was among many of the volunteers to work on the campus. So, I mean, if we're going to burn down everything, you know, if many students left to join the Confederacy, then, I mean, maybe George Washington University has to go. And I guess Walt Whitman along with it, you know, we can leave no stone unturned, so Walt Whitman has to go too, right? Oh, Captain, my Captain. Goodbye. It's just kind of funny, the hypocrisy. You know, somebody, a listener, sent me this thing. What is this? This Western Journal article. Dem officials cooking up plan to obliterate memorial above grave of Confederate, unearth the deceased officer. So, Richmond, Virginia, General Ambrose Powell, A.P. Hill. And it's an interesting article. in the sense that, well, let me skip down. Hill is being canceled 136 years after he was shot through the heart by a Union soldier on April 2, 1865, just weeks before the end of the Civil War. By all accounts, Hill never owned any slaves and never supported slavery. He simply felt compelled to fight for Virginians during a time when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole. Gosh, we could probably have months worth of conversations just on that one sentence. I've tried desperately at times on this broadcast. I feel we, you know, this network sort of is almost, embodied in that one sentence, you know, a time when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole. And this whole stupid, you know, beyond that now, it's, you know, the stupid think global, act local, all of which ties back to Breitbart's talk at the Heritage Foundation. Maybe I'll come back to that clip, you know, the one that I was referring to when he says, we are the apostates. So, there was a time in America when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole. And then along came, you know, things like the Fabian influence and Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward, very influential book that most people have never heard of. In the United States alone, over 162 Bellamy clubs sprang up to discuss and propagate the book's ideas. Owing to its commitment to the nationalization of private property and the desire to avoid use of the term socialism, quote-unquote, this political movement came to be known as nationalism. Not to be confused with the political concept of nationalism. No, of course not. The novel also inspired several utopian communities. And then there was, and so Edward Bellamy, Fabian socialist, old school bad guy extraordinaire, the author of this book, highly, heavily plagiarized book, you know, of works of the day. His cousin, Francis, is the guy who is credited, I would say, the way I would put it, credited with the authorship of the Pledge of Allegiance. And the pledge, speaking of the nationalizing of all things, had a controversial salute. The Bellamy salute. It's an interesting thing. And that obviously has been largely sanitized in the Wikipedia entry. It's just getting whittled down more and more. Used to actually, I think there was a section titled Bellamy Salute. Anyway. So, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Wait a minute. I thought this was a union of several states. What happened? You know, and so you read lines like this from this article, a time when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole or some political ideology. And this author does a great job of fleshing that out. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I guess before we, well, let me just mention this from this article real quick, and then we'll move on. Just the explainer. I think it deals with the subject matter very well. I mean, no wonder we have so much arguing these days. Good grief. You know, this article, I think, does a good job of not, I don't know, fanning the flames of controversy too much, but pointing out how things used to be. And again, that gets back to the issue of history and, you know, learning from it. And it's funny how the older you get, the less dogmatic and pragmatic you seem to be. And the more you learn, the more you know, what's the expression? The more you know, the more you realize, you know, you don't know as much as you thought you knew, kind of thing. And so someone says matter-of-factly something and you hear people say, well, not so fast, not exactly. What is that? Well, it is nuance in one sense. So from the article, again, Ambrose Powell, A.P. Hill, statue, Richmond, Virginia. Hill is being canceled after 136 years after he was shot through the heart by a Union soldier on April 2nd, 1865, just weeks before the end of the Civil War. And, you know, we could argue, I mean, they're talking about exhuming the body and tearing down the statue and all this stuff. And so one person will argue, this is a sacrilege, this is an outrage. Another person will argue, well, it doesn't really matter. But the point that is made in this article is, I think, valid. So continuing, by all accounts, Hill never owned any slaves and never supported slavery. He simply felt compelled to fight for Virginians during a time when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole. It's astonishing. Isn't it astonishing? Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, what's her name during the day, and you know all the folks over at Fox and CNBC, you know, Maddow and now Shepard Smith over there, and all these folks, they don't know you. They don't care about you. They really don't. I know that's probably shocking to some people, but they have no loyalty, no allegiance to you. You know, if anything would tell us that and inform our discretion, so to speak, it's probably Walter Cronkite's admissions to that effect. So, continuing with this article real quick, just to flesh this out. A time when many Americans were more concerned about their neighbors and their individual states than their loyalty to the nation as a whole. When Virginia seceded from the Union, Hill chose to fight with his neighbors. Hill, a West Point graduate, well, I guess we got to get rid of West Point too then, was respected as a general both by his own men and opposing officers, yet his remains will soon be dug up and relocated. Now that his service to Virginia has been deemed to have been a slight to modern enemies of American history, Hill's new enemies are a people who don't understand nuance. And it's ironic, isn't it ironic that, you know, if you ascribe to this cancel culture stuff, don't you realize that to have the statue is an opportunity to say, you know, if you think it was a bad thing, it's an opportunity to say, hey, let's not repeat this mistake. If the statue goes away, do we forget the lesson? Hill's new enemies are people who don't understand nuance. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again It really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station.
That guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away.
Welcome back.
He says that he'll be rich someday.
All right. This final passage, and back to the phone. So it says, Hill's new enemies are people who don't understand nuance. These are people who apparently believe that the Civil War was a conflict in which only one of two binary choices could have been made by men who took up arms. These people believe that men either fought for or against slavery, a mindset that oversimplifies a very complex conflict they want to prevent future generations from learning about. Well, there's nuance in there, too. I wouldn't, you know, there are the folks who are influencing, and then the folks who don't realize they're being influenced, which reminds me of, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do kind of thing. Last little paragraph. In Hill's case, amid a tumultuous and violent time where the political and social fabric of the country was ripped to shreds by people above his pay grade, kind of alludes to my point, I would say. He made the choice to resign from the U.S. Army and fight for the people of Virginia. There is arguably something honorable in Hill's life and death that can never be accepted by modern critics with such a rudimentary understanding of a very complicated conflict. Well, again, sort of what is part and parcel to the, you know, the critical theory and this Marxist conflict, cultural Marxist conflict in particular, is a reductio ad absurdum. Because if you can do that, then you reduce every conversation to these kinds of bifurcation fallacies. And of course there's going to be conflict then, because you have fallen for the technique of infamy, as Ezra Pound said. They, you know, here are two lies that have been invented for you to argue about. Which one is true? Ready, fight. And hopefully cooler heads prevail. And we can have, you know, instead of the infantilization of society, hopefully we can sort of step back and actually have a conversation if we're even inclined to talk about this stuff. All right, to the phones, Glenn in Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Well, hey, didn't we talk recently?
I don't know. It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
So, come on, Chris, there isn't that much argumentation.
No? Okay.
You're supposed to say, yes, there is, and I say, no, there isn't, and then you say, yes, right. There is, and I say, yes, there is, and
exactly.
You say, no, there isn't, and we have a little Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd moment.
Right. Exactly.
I'm a fan of decentralization of authority, and I think that Americanism, not globalism, should be our credo. I don't know where I heard that, but mm-hmm. I seem to remember hearing it repeatedly. But in recent years,
yeah.
So being a fan of decentralization, you always have these authority issues, you know, globalism versus nationalism, nationalism versus states' rights versus county authority. How much authority does a local county sheriff have? You know, you can lock up FBI agents, et cetera. You know, there's always this decentralization versus centralization dichotomy about authority, and. What tweaked me into calling back was when you were mentioning of the several states and the union of the several states. And I have always thought that the word individual fits well there as well. The individual states, and individual mm-hmm. governments, individual identities, individual mm-hmm. cultural and ethnic biases and stuff.
Separate and distinct.
Well, you'll notice the word sever. In there, sever, like to cut apart, to sever things apart. It applies a separateness of sorts, and that there's this need for cooperation, for so union, you have union. So to what degree do you have union, and to what degree do you have individuality? This is, mm-hmm. this dialectic is always going to be, and actually,
well,
if you think of it, you know,
number one in Webster's 1828, for several is separate, distinct, not common to two or more.
Right. And this is perennial and across the board, you know, this distinction between togetherness and separateness. I mean, even with a married couple, right? You have, those two are an item, you know, two, man and woman together are an item. But the two become one flesh, but not one soul, not one spirit. You know, there is always this, you know, the separateness doesn't have to imply conflict or fighting. It can, you know, individuality, mm-hmm. individuals can indeed cooperate, you know, mm-hmm. so that this is, I just want to point out the universal challenge of all human relating. And in philosophy, you have the problem of solipsism, you know, which is the problem of other minds. That's how it's rendered down in classical philosophy to the problem of solipsism. So just wanted to throw all that out there, you know?
Absolutely. Much
I guess I'm in kind of
again.
A partially cartoonish mode between Philip J. Fry and Bugs Bunny. I guess I have cartoons.
To summarize, I think that human beings and fish can coexist peacefully. So.
Well, except when I want that filet of fish, you know, then coexistence becomes difficult. I actually stopped fishing because deep sea fishing because, you know, I like catching bluefish, which is what we have mostly here in Jersey. Occasionally we have the stripers run, but I realized, like, I don't even like to eat bluefish, and I really don't want to terrorize and an animal may get fights for its life. Even if you're catch and release, it's still injured, pierced with a hook, exhausted and played out and terrified. It's like, you know, if I'm not going to eat this thing, I think maybe I should just coexist peacefully with the bluefish.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Nice. Very
all
nice.
All right, Chris. Catch you later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye.
All right. So in the interest of time, back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. After that, I decided Tom from Utah is really getting his message around. Maybe we should all eat sharks, only. What? They're no good.
Sure. Yeah.
They're big. The big fish have more radiation nowadays, right? We should all just eat sardines.
Sure.
What was clean then ain't clean now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say was Lincoln on his Gettysburg speech, he blamed racism, but that everybody knows that wasn't it, right? It was states' rights. States' rights. And Glenn was right in a sense, you know. If you don't have some kind of division here, where do you end up? You end up with tanks on your border, like Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We go together, but the UN is not.
You end up in the Eurasian Balkans.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to say that I think I have defied the enemy, and he is us. And why is because, according to everything I've understood about the Bible, and I know if you listen to RBN, you think that the Jews should go to hell for killing Jesus, but I think he was slain from the foundation of the earth. He knew he had to die, and somebody had to do it. And there was a Judas goat in there, and a lot of preachers are goat preachers, and all goat, quote this prophet, sorry, they're goat makers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, wasn't there a prophet who was doing it for money? He wanted to go curse Israel for money, Baal, and his own donkey wouldn't let him.
Oh yeah, yeah. What happened? You're talking about Balaam.
Mm-hmm. Balaam. Well, mm-hmm. now America's got a new god. It's Baal. It's a goat, and he has a human. He's a transsexual. He has a woman's breast, and he's holding a little boy in one arm and a little girl in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Do they go together? I think they do. I think a love of money is the root of all evil, and everything's been sold to money, the church, the science, and everything. You have to stand up for anything anymore. You got to be able to give up your profession, maybe your life.
Yeah.
If one state could be a good example to another state, isn't that what we fought over? We're still fighting over the fraud in certain states.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had it in Texas, I don't know, I think just prayer, because we have John Johnson over here, and he called the national prayer meeting for 3 days or something like that, and then a new Supreme Court justice went in with eight kids, so we hope to possibly get abortion, that decision reversed. It's just a decision. It's not a law. And mm-hmm. and that's the problem, is that the devil has taken over. When Madeleine Murray O'Hare took prayer out of school, the devil took over. Because those little kids were saying the Lord's Prayer. I remember saying it. And I'm not saying God was partial to his little kids saying, "Thy will be done." But the truth is, that's all Jesus came for, was to have the will of God done. And we don't do it. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And if anyone denies the power, flee from him. We have the power to overcome the devil, and we all let him win.
Wow.
We're all guilty. The enemy is us. And if we don't start taking our rightful place and the Passion of Christ, I mean, that's more or less what Jesus looked like. And I don't care who told him, the Jews or whoever, to take that out about them saying his blood be on us. But they said it. And the point was, though, that he did say, I believe he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. I like to go to Conservapedia. They have more of the accurate history of everything. But he, I don't totally agree with him, Phyllis Schlafly's son, he wants to redo the King James Version of the Bible because he doesn't think that was really in the original one. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think it was.
Well, that's
because
part
you can
of the,
live with both
that's
of them.
Part of the hardcore, you know, establishment right, you know, CNP crowd. So,
well, you know, if you read the Bible, God never said lay down and be a doormat to anybody.
I think reading and praying each person individually, and then as the Spirit leads, I think good things happen. Then if we're listening to men too much, then
you have a word that you call it the Spirit leads. You call it what, the halfway or so? I don't know, but you're right. And I guess I've been talking to my kids and talking to people that I've talked to for years and years that don't seem to be getting anywhere. So I guess I'm just wound up. Sorry about that. But I really do believe, I just don't know that one person can do anything. But we're not together. And the reason we're not together is because we would rather worry about money. You know, I know there's a lot of power involved with, you know, you get somebody like Gates or all these other yahoos. Once they got all the money they want, then they want power. But we have more power than that. Jesus died for it. What's wrong with us? And I'm not even saying that God wouldn't want Gates to get saved before he dies and goes to hell. And I like your song about going to hell. I like that. One person I'm talking to did about, says, I'm not going to feel guilty about any of these, sorry, bad words. But in a way, we lost a whole generation of people for some reason. We let the prosperity gospel take over the churches and feel guilty if you don't provide for your own, and instead of teaching them, you better learn how to seek God yourself, because riches come and riches go, like in one day.
Yep.
With what they call an act of nature, but I don't call it act of nature.
We have one more caller that we need to get to, Pat. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Much appreciated. You're welcome. All right. Back to the phones. Don in Australia. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
G'day, it's Darren. I love Pat.
Hi, Darren.
I think she would beat me in an arm wrestle.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you remember me because I said, g'day, g'day, g'day. And then I realized later, you love Australia.
Oh, yeah? You realize
Road
that?
Warrior. That's a Mad
exactly.
Max reference,
right,
surely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you, if you need to immigrate.
I appreciate that.
What, you want to come?
Well, I'm okay for the moment, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After our last call, Alan Watt died, and I've thought, whilst on hold, I'm assuming you don't listen to Clint Richardson.
Not regularly.
Yeah. So you have some history with him?
No.
You have some confidence in his works? No answer is a good answer. Because, what's really cool is he's always learning, and his latest thing is all about private versus public, and he's got this cool thing like you have a private association, right? You can do anything in private. So the joke is in America, people having trouble selling milk that's non-homogenized, non-pasteurized, right? And they try to do it in public. So you do it in private, right? So he tells this story about a friend who has a shed, and he milks the goats, and then, you become a member, and then, therefore it's a private association, and anyone can come and, do whatever they want. I thought that was a cool story. You'd love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked about that in the context of, it reminds me of Blackstone's commentaries and his commentary specifically on absolute rights. So from Ehrlich's Blackstone, Part 1, Rights of Persons, Rights of Things, absolute rights, by the absolute rights of individuals, we mean those which are so in their primary and strictest sense, such as would belong to their persons merely in a state of nature, and which man is entitled to enjoy whether out of society or in it. But with regard to the absolute duties which man is bound to perform, considered as a mere individual, it is not to be expected that any human municipal law should at all explain or enforce them. For the end and intent of such laws being only to regulate the behavior of mankind as they are members of society and stand in various relations to each other. They have consequently no business or concern with any but social or relative duties. But this is more to the point of what you're speaking. Let a man therefore be ever so abandoned in his principles or vicious in his practice, provided he keeps his wickedness to himself private and does not offend against the rules of public decency, he is out of the reach of human laws. But if he makes his vices public, though they be such as seem principally to affect himself, as drunkenness or the like, they then become, by the bad example they set, of pernicious effects to society, and therefore it is then the business of human laws to correct them. Here the circumstance of publication is what alters the nature of the case. Public sobriety is a relative duty, and therefore enjoyed by our laws. Private sobriety is an absolute duty, which, whether it can be performed or not, human tribunals can never know, and therefore they can never enforce it by any civil sanction. So, to your point, what is happening more and more as things are being
made public... I
didn't
make a point. I was telling the story. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, well, what I infer in that, and my... Mm-hmm. I guess what comes to my mind when you say that is... More and more things are being made public.
Yeah, I believe that.
Whether, intentionally or otherwise, and as a result, what I just read.
Yeah, it sounded like you were reading something from Rote.
It's Blackstone's commentaries.
Mm-hmm. On a word or a phrase?
On rights. The mm-hmm. philosophy right. and history of the law.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And last time I spoke to you, I said, oh, I better go. I can't afford this. And then I found out it's cheaper to call America than calling a mobile phone.
Very interesting.
I know. We're living in the future.
Yep. And again, as Jacques Ellul reminded us, because of the myth of progress, it's easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. All right. Well, thanks for your call, Darren. Much appreciated.
Totally. Good to hear you.
So, I guess in conclusion of today's broadcast, we've sort of come full circle, perhaps, and I don't know, on the heels of Memorial Day here in America, I just wonder, you know, I can only speak for myself, I wonder, as we commemorate certain things, you know, there is this pressure, this coercive pressure that we live under. You know, people who've grown up in the past few generations have been shaped into molding themselves to this coercive pressure. Folks like Charlotte Isserby have talked extensively about that. Again, I think that, you know, reminds me of what Andrew Breitbart was trying to tell us, and that Heritage Foundation talk he gave about his book. And so, you know, if the mouthpieces from on high tell us to remember or not remember, then, you know, we seem to remember. We seem to never forget one aspect of 9/11, but we can't seem to remember another. Isn't that funny how that works? So, just a little, I don't know, food for thought, I guess. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.